Good morning. We're glad to be here this morning. And, well, we are Bobby and Jenny Miso, and we are missionaries in Cote d'Ivoire. That's in West Africa. And we have our son, Moore, with us. He's 4 years old. He's in the nursery. And we're also expecting our second child in June. And if we can have the slide up. Oh, there you go. And this morning, we will share from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, in which Jesus calls disciples to be fishers of men. And you can read along with us from Luke 5, 1 to 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him.
This is a familiar scripture passage for many of us, but this morning we want to take into consideration the way that the fishermen-turned-disciples responded to this call. There are a few questions that are evoked in this passage that we can ask ourselves as we consider our own faith journeys and our own call to be disciples. Do we obey and follow Christ when things are not going as planned? The disciples, they weren't getting any fish, so things weren't exactly going as they had hoped, as they had planned the whole night. And one thing that Bobby and I didn't plan on when we followed the Lord's call to Cote d'Ivoire was the feeling there of isolation. After a few months of orientation and getting acquainted with the culture, we have other Church of God missionaries there, Larry and Leanne Sellers, our colleagues, and they were there with us, and they were teaching us many things through those first few months. But they actually went on home assignment after about 5 months of us being there. And so they returned to the States, and we were looking forward a few months later to some of our friends from language school in France. We had spent a year in language school studying French before we went, and we had met a family there, the Dodsons, and their picture is on the next slide. And we were looking forward to the Dodsons pictured there coming to Cote d'Ivoire. They were missionaries, and they had studied with us, and we had become good friends, and they were going to be in the northern part of the country. And so they were moving to northern Cote d'Ivoire, and we were planning to spend some holidays with them and celebrate some birthdays with them. And there aren't many young missionary families in Cote d'Ivoire. You can see that the Dodsons have three girls. But really, after the war broke out in Cote d'Ivoire in 2001 and 2002, many missionaries evacuated the country during the war. And after the war, some missionaries went back, but a lot of missionaries never returned to Cote d'Ivoire. And so, especially missionaries that had young children never did go back. And so there are not a lot of missionaries with young families. So we were really excited to be able to spend some holidays and birthdays with them. And So we spent our first Christmas in Côte d'Ivoire with the Dodsons. But just a few months later, something that none of us had planned happened. Their daughter, who was 1.5 at the time, she's the one on the left in the white shirt and the white bow in her hair. Her name is Colette, and she fell seriously ill. We were up in Korogo, which is in the northern part of Côte d'Ivoire, and we were actually there for the Church of God National Women's Convention and to meet with the Children of Promise committee there. And so we were staying at the Dodsons' house, and we were outside when Jenna, Colette's mom, she came running out of the house, and she said, "Call 911, call 911, Colette is having seizures." And so I kind of looked, you know, said, "Where's my phone?" And then I realized, we're in West Africa, there is no 911. And so Colette's parents, Justin and Jenna, along with Bobby, they rushed to their vehicle and they took Colette to the hospital. And I stayed with their older daughter and with more. And eventually our friends ended up having to evacuate Côte d'Ivoire. They were evacuated to France, where Colette was in a children's hospital for a month. Her kidneys had shut down. And eventually they were then evacuated back here to the U.S., to Ohio, where Colette was in treatment, and she's actually regained 70% of her kidney function. But the Dodsons were not able to return to Côte d'Ivoire. The medical care that their daughter needs, the testing and the care that she needs from a specialist is not available anywhere in the country. And so for us, that event had a big impact, obviously, on the Dodsons, but also on us. I remember that Bobby was driving back from the Dodsons' home to our home right after this had occurred, just a couple of days after Colette had started these seizures, and their family was in the process of being evacuated. And we were driving back to our house, and I remember looking out the window. And as we were driving down the road, there were a lot of villages that looked like this one that's pictured on the right, kind of what you might consider to be a traditional African village with the mud huts and the roofs made of sticks and brush. And I was praying and I was saying, "God, this is not what we planned. Our friends are gone. What's going to happen to Colette? At this point, we didn't know if she would survive. How can we stay here with our son? What if something happens to him?" And so as I looked out the window of the car, and I was talking to the Lord, and we were passing these villages, the Lord said, "What about the children in these villages? He loves them as much as he loved Colette, as much as he loves more." And it occurred to me that the people in these villages not only don't often have a hospital nearby, but they not only don't have 911, but don't often have a vehicle where they could even get to a place that would give them medical care quickly. So what do they do when things don't go as planned? Colette's illness and the departure of our dear friends, they still don't make total sense to us. But I will say that I've been shaped by the experience, and through it, I'm seeking to trust the Lord more. I kind of joke sometimes with people, and I say, "The Lord took us to Africa because we're really stubborn, and we don't listen just being here in our home culture. We get comfortable." And so it's really been an opportunity for us to be able to rely and trust on the Lord when things have not gone as planned. Undoubtedly, we've all had to decide what path we would take in our faith journey when things haven't gone as planned. Whatever circumstances in our own lives, we've all had a time when things did not go the way that we were hoping or the way that we had set out in our own minds. The Church of God in Côte d'Ivoire has had some situations where things have not gone as planned. The church planted another Church of God congregation in the northern country of Burkina Faso, a country that directly borders them. And it's been exciting to see them send missionaries from Côte d'Ivoire to Burkina Faso. This has been a difficult venture for them because things have not always gone as planned, as they themselves, who have received missionaries, have now sent out missionaries. Bobby's going to share the story of how the church is trusting the Lord when things have not gone as planned.
In the past, the Church of God in Côte d'Ivoire had sent a pastor and his family to minister to the people in Burkina Faso. It was temporary until the church would find someone who was called to serve the people in Burkina Faso long term. So the national church in Côte d'Ivoire, they found a young man whose name was Isaac, who was an Ibao student. It's the West African Bible Institute of the Church of God where Jenny and I teach. And he was a student, and he was finishing his degree, and he was also pastoring a church in the village called Kononfla, which was about 45 minutes away from where we lived in the city of Yamoussoukro. Isaac was passionate about ministry and serving people and leading them to Christ. He has this loud, booming voice when he talks, and he loves to dance during worship. And Pastor Isaac felt called to go to Burkina Faso. He was born there and had relatives in the country. So he knew the language and the culture of the people, so he was perfect for this position. Isaac and his wife, they left for Burkina Faso in May of 2015, and in no time, Isaac called the national leaders in Côte d'Ivoire to let them know that there were three young Muslim men who had given their life to Christ, and now they were ostracized by their family. So Isaac took the three young men in and started to disciple them. But after a couple of months, things did not go as planned. Isaac, he fell ill with typhoid and tuberculosis and passed away in March of 2016. And he was only 32 years old. His wife returned to Côte d'Ivoire, and it was a very difficult time for the church in Côte d'Ivoire. So the church leaders in Côte d'Ivoire, they prayed and trusted God to bring up another pastor who would be willing to go up to Burkina Faso and minister to the people there. After months of praying, God brought another pastor, whose name is Luzeni, who also attended the West African Bible Institute from the church, and he went up north to Burkina Faso. And it was November of last year in 2016, we were still there, and that he left for Burkina Faso and started to pastor the church there. We have a short video that I was able to put together when we visited the church in Burkina Faso. It's in the city of Bobo Dioulasso, and it was in April of 2015. And it was on Palm Sunday, and it was also, they do a lot of baptism during that time, during Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. And so we were able to be there for that event as well. So here's a short video.
Au nom du Seigneur Jésus-Christ.
Encouraging to see the Lord work in Burkina Faso, a predominantly Muslim country, and just to see the Church of God in Cote d'Ivoire having sent missionaries there. And even though they've gone through a number of things that they did not plan, we know that the Lord has plans for them, and so we've been encouraged by their faithfulness. Just like the fishermen in Luke 5, we've all had an experience in which things didn't go as planned. But do such experiences cause us to doubt the Lord or to trust him even more? What happened next in the story in Luke 5 tells us about the soon-to-be disciples' faith in Christ. Jesus asked them to do something that didn't make any sense to them. And this leads us to ask ourselves, do we obey and follow Christ when what the Lord is telling us to do does not make sense to us? In Luke 5, 4 and 5, from the passage that we read a little earlier, it says, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets.'" It didn't make sense for the fishermen to put their nets down again. They'd been doing that same thing the whole night. And so why would this time be different? They had caught nothing. But the question that we have to ask ourselves, and the same thing that the disciples asked themselves, is, do we obey and follow Christ when what the Lord is telling us to do does not make sense to us? Simon responded, "If you say so, if you say so." It took Simon only seconds to say, "If you say so." But for me, I found when the Lord's directions don't make sense, it has literally taken me years sometimes to obey. I resisted when the Lord first called me into cross-cultural missions as a teenager. I fought it for several years, finally accepting that call and surrendering to the Lord all of my plans for his plans, even if it didn't make sense. It was at an international youth convention in 1996 when I finally went forward and told the Lord that I would go wherever he led, even if it was overseas as a missionary. But fast forward about 16 years, in 2012, Bobby and I went with the youth leaders from the church that we were attending at the time in Anderson, the South Meridian Church, to the International Youth Convention in Denver, Colorado. And at this point, we knew that we were going to be going overseas and that we were going to be serving in West Africa, and we were starting to look in that direction. But we were excited to be able to go with the youth group and be youth leaders at the International Youth Convention. And typically at these conventions, they'll have a prayer walk. And so this particular year, the prayer walk was canceled because of weather. So we all stayed in the convention center in Denver, and we were praying, and we were having a time of worship. And as I was praying, this random business sign popped into my head. And this sign just wouldn't go out of my head, and I thought, this is just really strange. Well, at that point in time, Bobby and I were living in some apartments in Anderson that were about 6 or 7 minutes' drive from where we went to church. And we would always pass this particular business when we would go to church. And so I was thinking, this is just really strange. But as I continued to pray, I continued thinking about this sign. And the sign, for any of you who may have ever been in Anderson, was for the VIP club in Anderson, which is a strip club. Now, you may have passed the sign before if you've been there and know the establishment, but this is obviously a place that, you know, not a lot of Christians have been in and maybe, you know, don't really know much about. And so for me, I thought, well, this is really strange. Why would this sign just keep popping into my head? So I was praying, and the Lord said to me, "I want you to do ministry there." I was like, what? I'm going to Africa. I'm not going there. And so I didn't go straight to saying, "If you say so," like Simon did. I really resisted this call, this idea that the Lord was placing in my heart. And I said, wait, Lord, that just doesn't make sense. Bobby and I are commissioned as missionaries to go to Cote d'Ivoire. The timing's not right for me to be involved in a new ministry like this. Not to mention, I'd have no idea how to go about doing some type of ministry like that. So instead of saying, if you say so, Lord, I said, all right, I'm just going to pray about it for a while. So now, not mocking prayer or anything. Obviously, prayer is very important and vital to our lives, but sometimes I would use that as an excuse. Well, I'm only going to pray about it for a while. So for me, it was kind of code as, well, I don't really want to do that. It's not really what I had planned. It doesn't really make sense to me, so I'm going to pray about it for a while. But I did pray. And now keep in mind, I wasn't too worried about moving to Africa and doing ministry, but I didn't really want to go 4 or 5 blocks from where I lived into an establishment that was very foreign to me. And so for about a year, I prayed. I thought, maybe I'll wait this thing out. Eventually, the Lord will send us to Africa. I won't have to worry about this idea that doesn't make any sense. Well, fast forward about a year, and it was July of 2013. Bobby and I were traveling and raising support to be able to head out to Cote d'Ivoire. And we were the missionary speakers at a camp meeting in Louisiana. And they have, like many camp meetings, one day in the week when they have a missions day. And so that particular day, they had asked us to preach. And so we preached on the Great Commission in the morning service. And in the evening service, the evangelist preached on Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the evangelist who was preaching, knowing that we were the missionaries at camp that week, he gave the example that before you go to Africa, representing the ends of the earth, you have to be willing to be his witnesses right where you're placed, representing Jerusalem. So, of course, he actually looked directly at me, right, and saying this. No, I felt like it. But so I thought, okay, Lord, he actually said, before you can go to Africa, you have to be his witnesses right where you're placed. So, of course, here comes this sign back in my mind of this establishment in Anderson. And I thought, seriously, Lord? All right, fine, it doesn't make any sense, but I finally said, if you say so, if you say so. So we got back to Anderson after that trip to Louisiana, and we went and Bobby and I met with our pastor, and we said, you know, we just want you to know this is what's going on. Thought he should know if he saw my car in the parking lot there. no, but really, we actually went and counseled with him because I was scared to death. I was like, this is, you know, really out of my comfort zone, even more so in my mind than going across the world to Africa. And so I had found out that there was someone who had a ministry to establishments like this one. And so I contacted this person. And it turns out that for the past year, this particular ministry group that reached out to women working in establishments like this had actually been going to this particular establishment and praying there that the Lord would open the doors. And they had just started a couple of months before a ministry into this club. So I joined this ministry, and at first I was on the prayer team. We would go and pray outside as other women would go inside and be able to talk to the people who worked there. And eventually the Lord opened the doors for me to be able to go and be a part of this ministry inside of the club. And I went in with some other ladies from what's now called the Strip Love Ministry. And we went out to another club in another place in Anderson as well. And the Lord really worked. And just the way that we see the Lord working when we say, okay, Lord, if you say so, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. But if this is what you're telling me to do, and I've really brought it to you in prayer, and you're calling me to do this, then this is what I will do. The Lord had a plan. It didn't make sense to me at the time. But just like with the fishermen, Christ knew then and knows now better than us. Sometimes those moments that don't make sense to us have to do with our own circumstances. And that was the case for Pastor Josue, who you'll see in the next slide. Pastor Josue and his family live in Cote d'Ivoire, and Bobby's going to tell you a little bit about their story and how they dealt with things when things didn't make sense.
This is a picture of Pastor Josue and his family. And Pastor Josue, he was a pastor at a village church in the northern part of the country of Cote d'Ivoire. And he was also a graduate, one of the top students from the West African Bible Institute. But then he became ill with meningitis. And as a result, he went blind. So in Cote d'Ivoire, there are no services for the blind. And so he couldn't pastor anymore, and it made it difficult for him to work and provide for his family. But Josue and his family are faithful to God. And right when their son, you'll see in the picture that Samuel, their youngest son. So right when Samuel was ready to go to school, the Children of Promise program was launched in the country of Cote d'Ivoire. So his son, Samuel, was selected by the local committee and to apply for the program. And so now he is one of the Children of Promise child who sponsored. We would have not been able to launch the program if it was not the faithfulness of the church here at Mount Haley for supporting us in prayer and financially for allowing us to be there and to follow the call of God and to be able to start this program. So you want to say thank you for that.
So it was really amazing to see God's timing, because just at the time that Samuel, who's 5 years old, just at the time that he was getting ready to go to school is the time that the program started up there. And it didn't make sense to us. Why would this happen to Pastor Josue, to his family, as they've been faithful? Why would he be able to recover from the other symptoms of meningitis, but continue to have the blindness, despite the fact that he's had a couple of procedures to try to correct that? So a lot of it, we thought, oh, Lord, this just really doesn't make sense. But it's been really neat to see the way that this family has remained faithful and has encouraged other people in their faith. And the way that the Children of Promise program has come alongside and encouraged this family, making it possible for little Samuel to be able to go to school, for the family to receive a food supply each month, and also for little Samuel to be able to receive funds for healthcare. Like Bobby said, because of the faithfulness of supporting churches, Mount Haley and the other churches that support us, and the faithfulness of sponsors who sponsor children, Samuel and the other children who are sponsored in the program, it has really given a lot of hope to families like Pastor Josue's family. Children of Promise is currently operating in two locations in Cote d'Ivoire with 22 children sponsored, and the program is continually growing. And as you'll see in the foyer on the way out, we have more information about Children of Promise that we'd love to talk to you about if you're interested. But in our absence, there's been a national committee and two local committees that have continued to carry on this work. And seeing the way the Lord has also worked in their lives and opened doors for them to be able to reach out to families in the community has been an encouragement for us. As we turn back to the disciples in Luke 5, we see that after the Lord provided by telling them to do something that didn't make any sense, Jesus then asked them to do something risky, to follow him and become fishers of men. So on the next slide, we see the question, do we obey and follow Christ when things get risky? The disciples agreed to follow Jesus, a culture-challenging transient who proclaimed himself that he had no place to lay his head. It was risky. It was risky for the disciples to leave what they had to follow Jesus. Many of the decisions that we face, that we all face, involve risk. When the Lord calls us, there's often risk involved. I know this is not a traditional Mother's Day sermon, but for me as a mom, one of the biggest challenges in this area is worrying about more getting sick. and while we're overseas. So the best technology and healthcare is not available where we're located in the country. And so it's been a real challenge to me to be able to have the opportunity to really lay over even my own child to the Lord, to say, Lord, I'm trusting you in every area, even as a mom. It's risky, but it also brings us to our knees in prayer, knowing that we have to rely on the Lord because we can't rely on a false sense of security. We have no choice but to trust the Lord to care for us and protect us. And he has protected us, not only from serious illnesses, but he's also made a way for us when there have been possibilities of security threats. And we know that the Lord is there walking beside us, regardless of what it is that we go through. If one of us does fall seriously in the future, it's not that we lose our hope from that, but we're taking a risk because we know that it's worth it to follow him and that he'll be with us every step of the way.
So before we went to Côte d'Ivoire, we read on the history of Côte d'Ivoire, and we found out that they've had, whenever they have elections, there's always, you know, chaos that breaks out, and there's, you know, a lot of conflict in the country. And in 2015, when we were in the country of Côte d'Ivoire, it was getting ready for its presidential elections, and we were a little worried about what the outcome might be. But in the past, there have been violent outbreaks around election time. But as a family, we had an evacuation plan that if anything happened, we will drive to the neighboring country of Ghana. But the election was peaceful, and in the past 4 years, there has been increased stability in the country. And around, it was March of 2016, there was the first terrorist attack in the country of Côte d'Ivoire in recent history. And so there are risks on the mission field, but there are risks everywhere. But we have to learn how to trust God in every circumstance.
So we want to say thank you, Mount Haley Church of God, for expanding your reach, not only here in Michigan, but all the way to Côte d'Ivoire and other parts of the world. It takes us working together as the body of Christ, as the Lord's disciples, to make fishers of men, both here in Midland, also in West Africa, and even to the ends of the earth. Take a look at this video that Bobby filmed of a fishing village on the coast of Côte d'Ivoire. Notice that the whole village, the men, the women, the children, there's even a couple puppy dogs in there, come together to bring in the fish. It gives us a good mental picture of how we all come together to be fishers of men. fishers of men together. We can't fulfill the call ourselves. As missionaries, Bobby and I often get to tell the stories of what the Lord is doing in West Africa. But what the Lord has done and is still doing cannot be credited to us any more than the net full of fish could be credited to the disciples. We can't do a great thing, but the Lord can as we work together as the body of Christ. So here's our question, our ongoing challenge to you and to ourselves. Will we obey and follow Christ even when things don't go as planned, when they don't make sense, when they are risky? We trust the Lord to provide for us in every situation. And so we want to, again, just say thank you for partnering with Global Strategy and Ministry in Côte d'Ivoire, for your prayers and encouragement, making it possible for us to be part of the body of Christ with you. God bless you.